This Sunday is St. Patrick's Day, but before you start making old standbys like corned beef and cabbage, how about trying something different like a traditional cabbage and bacon soup or a Guinness and beef stew? They're just a few of the possibilities you'll find in Clodagh McKenna's new cookbook, Clodagh's Kitchen Diaries, delicious recipes throughout the year. She's an Irish chef, food writer, restaurateur, and you may have seen her TV series, Irish Food Trails, on PBS. And I'm very pleased to welcome Clodagh McKenna to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Well, it's such an honor to be here. Your reputation, you know, surpasses you all the way to Ireland.
Really? And they're still talking about me in Ireland? I wish they'd stop. You write about celebrating St. Patrick's Day as a child. Is it celebrated in Ireland the same way as it is here?
No.
No parades down Main Street in Dublin?
Yeah, there are, and they have definitely gotten bigger. But it's something that's kind of evolved in the last, we'll say, 10 years. Certainly when I was growing up, they were quite small, and they would just have Irish traditional dancers, majorettes, obviously music, and then probably, you know, a member from the Catholic Church or something like that on the parade. Now it's gotten a little bit bigger, but we're not in any way to the level of, we'll say, the New York City parade.
Well, and I guess our St. Patrick's Day celebrations in this country have to do with the Irish diaspora and people remembering the old country in a fond way. In Ireland, you don't have to worry about that. You're there.
Yeah, we're there. And it's a holy day in Ireland. So, you know, everybody gets the day off. The Sunday, it's obviously, you know, on a Sunday this year, so we'll get the Monday off. But it's a day everybody goes to church. Well,
do Americans have misconceptions about Irish food? For example, you haven't included any recipes for corned beef and cabbage or soda bread in this cookbook.
I think that Ireland has gone through a little bit of a revolt, a little bit of a renaissance in the past 15 years. So if you'd come to Ireland maybe 20 years ago, you would be right in saying that, you know, the food is average, you know, and that they will say there was not an awful lot of diversity with food in the country. There's been, because it's a small island, things change quite fast. And so about 12 years ago, there was probably about 20 farmers markets in Ireland, and now there's about 200 farmers markets in Ireland.
And you've been part of that movement, haven't you?
I have been, yeah. I worked in farmers markets and ran farmers markets and set them up. And I also, I also worked in Slow Food Ireland as well. And I mean, for me as a chef and a restaurateur, the roots of good food are through the producers and through the fishermen. And so when they start coming out of the woodwork and there's this kind of, you know, a surge of them, new, especially young artisan producers coming up, you know, creating really wonderful ingredients, that just has a wiggle all the way through the food system and it changes our food culture.
So this is similar to what's happened in Britain.
Exactly.
For years you made jokes about English cooking, and now there are some pretty great restaurants there.
Yeah.
And Ireland as well, despite the fact that Ireland has always had good produce available, it was just not used well.
Absolutely. The produce that is available is incredible. I mean, we are on an island, and I think that we have the best fish in the world. I mean, my grandpa was a fisherman, as my uncle was a fisherman, and I grew up on fish, and it was surprising to see, and I think a lot of viewers or listeners will agree with me that when you came to Ireland, you weren't able to get as much fish as you wanted to. But now that has changed. You know, people are also travelling a lot, and they're coming back and they're going, and people are thinking more about our own fish, our own sustainability as a country. We were talking about sustainability earlier, and that's something that's definitely on, you know, the front of everybody's mind right now.
You don't have large agribusinesses as we do.
No.
Tied into growing huge quantities of corn.
No.
Or soy. In fact, Ireland should have been a lesson to us because of the potato famine.
Yeah.
Relying on one crop is not always the best thing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But you're still growing potatoes.
We're still growing potatoes. We're growing and that has really come into vogue actually in the last few years as well in food, which is really interesting. You know, we have about over 160 varieties of potatoes, and we'll say commercially sold is probably about 4 or 5. But now that's all starting to change, and you go to farmers markets and you can get like wonderful different varieties of potatoes.
But in this book, you've also included recipes that don't sound particularly Irish, like barbecue chicken burgers and turkey curry. You even have a recipe for making a margarita.
Well, see, this is my diary. This is kind of like my personal diary of what I cook. I lived in a lot of different countries. I lived here in New York. I lived in Torino in the north of Italy for 3 years. I worked at Slow Food. And I also used to spend every summer growing up in France. And actually, I go back to South of France for the whole of August every year. So I guess that my, and I spent some time in London, so I guess my food is quite diverse. I am a believer in and using local and sustainability in food. So all my restaurants, they might have the base same recipes, but we source locally. So there's a little bit of a difference in taste with them.
And you're suggesting also that the Irish public is getting more sophisticated in its tastes. You write that some of your holiday food tastes have changed as well since you were a child. For instance, you've acquired a taste for cabbage and bacon soup. Why didn't you like it? Cabbage and bacon soup sounds like it would be delicious.
Oh, it is. No, what I was saying is I actually made a recipe for cabbage and bacon soup, and it's in my book. But cabbage and bacon on its own, you know, what used to happen when we were growing up is that the bacon would be put in the middle of the pot, and then the cabbage would be put all around it, and they'd be cooked for the same length of time. And so it just wasn't. And you ate it a lot growing up, and so you just got sick of it.
Well, also, it seems to me you're taking all the flavor out of the bacon by cooking it so long. I would make a cabbage soup and then add bacon later for a little, for some texture and extra flavor.
So my take on it, which is in the book, which is my bacon and cabbage soup, is basically the base of it is a smoked pancetta. But I swear it's Irish pancetta when I'm in Ireland. Gabine is beautiful. If you're ever in Ireland, you've got to pick it up.
Is Irish pancetta?
Yeah, pancetta. Well, it's basically...
Would that be like Canadian bacon or like Italian pancetta?
Like Italian pancetta. And they have their own pigs and everything. It's a farm down in West Cork called Gabine. Beautiful farm down in West Cork called Gabine. We use all of their bacon for my restaurant's Clodagh's Kitchen. But the base of it is smoked bacon, and then you add in shallots, garlic, dried oregano into it. Sizzle that up a little bit to get the flavours going, and then you add in chopped tomatoes, and on top of that, you know, at this time of the year, definitely tinned good quality ones. Pomodorino are my favourite from Sicily. And then some stock into it, and then last minute then some shredded cabbage. And then taste for seasoning, but that is my version of bacon and cabbage now.
And that's all stuff that we can do here as well.
Yeah, simple as...
Except we'll use Italian pancetta instead.
Yeah. Or maybe American pancetta. There's some lovely artist and producer in Vermont or what have you.
You write about your mother's beef and Guinness stew. How long did that cook?
Oh, like about 3 or 4 hours. Uh-huh. In fact, actually, before I came over here, my restaurant in Clodagh's Kitchen, we were doing a beef and Guinness stew, and we actually stewed it for 7 hours in a low heat just to see how it'd work off. I mean, the thing, you know, I'm sure you're a foodie, right? You cook. I'm just presuming that I, but
I do like to cook and I do like to eat well.
That the longer that you cook beef, of course, in a stew environment, in that it's kind of cozied up with stock or Guinness or what have you, the better it is. It just gets, and it's not your time. So, but that Guinness and beef stew is really delicious. The secret of it is that really good mushrooms that are added to it as well, like lovely mix of wild mushrooms if you can. Also lovely pancetta as well in that, which gives a gorgeous smoky flavour in it, and shallots.
And a number of the recipes have Guinness in them.
Yeah.
Now, Guinness as opposed to other kinds of beer, because Guinness adds a deeper flavour.
Oh, it does, yeah.
You even have a Guinness dessert.
I do. Well, you know, there's a lovely caramelly coffee flavour that you get from Guinness. And also if you're in Cork... If you ever go visit in Cork, try the Murphy's there. It's kind of like they'll say the Cork equivalent of Guinness, which is more, it's just a little smaller brewery. It's absolutely beautiful as well. So either or, Murphy's or Guinness would be beautiful in it. Action.
My guest is Clodagh McKenna. She has just published a cookbook called Clodagh's Kitchen Diaries, delicious recipes throughout the year, because Ireland is a place that has a strong sense of four seasons. And is it similar to the situation here? We were talking earlier about how in the wintertime in this area, a lot of dairy, but also mostly root vegetables are available, a little else.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? The root vegetables in Ireland are actually the nicest vegetables that are actually grown. And farmers have definitely come, you know, quite, let's say, experimental in growing different root vegetables now as well, you know, different varieties of different root vegetables. But the reason why they're so good is because the soil gets so sugary, doesn't it, when there's frost at this time of the year on it, and that sweetens the roots of the vegetables. So I love root vegetables personally.
Do you get a lot of snow?
No.
You're in Dublin?
Cold. Yeah, I'm in Dublin. I'm originally from Cork, but I live in Dublin. We don't get a lot of snow.
There's a lot of butter in these recipes. Now, we can actually buy Irish butter in most of our supermarkets here. But is there a real difference between Irish butter and other butters?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, when I lived in Italy, I used to go... I used to come back to Ireland every 2 weeks just to do work. And every time I'd come back, I'd stock up my bags in the duty-free with Kerrygold because I just couldn't live without it.
You don't think that Italian butter is delicious?
It's good, but I mean, even Italians will admit that all of the good milk is used for their cheeses, like the Parmesan cheese, and then the lesser good milk is used for butter. But in Ireland, it's the opposite. We use all of the good milk for our butter. And also in Italy, the cows aren't grass-fed. You know, the majority of them are raised in barns, and in Ireland, they're all grass-fed. So the difference, I mean, even the difference in the colour, it's so rich. And in that way, I think that you use less of it. And so... half the fat, really.
Now, you have any suggestions for desserts for St. Patrick's Day? In this country, all too often, people just dump some green food coloring into any other dessert
and say, this
is St. Patty's Day.
Well, actually, I'm talking about desserts. I'll tell you what I'm doing on my desserts. So my pop-up restaurant on Saturday night, I'm doing a pop-up restaurant Saturday night in conjunction with Danny Meyer's restaurant, Untitled at the Whitney. And I'm cooking with executive chef Chris Bradley, which I'm very excited about. And we're doing a whole contemporary menu, looking at the different Irish elements on it. And we have two desserts on that night, and they're both really traditional Irish, but I guess with a little bit of twist in them. And we're doing a bread and butter pudding, which is very traditional Ireland. So the stalest white bread you can get, pre-mould. and then you soak it in a little bit of whiskey, but also warm half milk.
Does it have to be Irish whiskey?
Oh, yeah. No, we'll forgive you. And then the raisins grind through it, cinnamon, lots of cream, and then that gets baked in the oven. Or try a Cargill moss pudding, which is like a panna cotta, but instead of using gelatine, you actually use Cargill moss, which gives it a lovely little essence. And at this time of the year, lovely rhubarb compote on top would be beautiful.
But there are things that you can only get in Ireland you can't get here.
Ingredients-wise?
Yeah.
Well, for desserts or for just anything? Like, for example, our fresh wild salmon. I wanted to bring over a gravlax for Sasha. And
well, for example, you have a thing called coulée.
Oh, coulée. Coulée cheese.
C-O-O-L-E-A.
Oh, coulée cheese is divine. Yeah, from Rescore.
We can't get it here, can we?
You can't get it here. There are other things you can get here. You can get cashew blue cheese here. And in fact, on Sasha night, I'm doing a dish of wild nettle gnocchi, handmade gnocchi, with a cashew blue cream sauce on it.
So we're seeing the equivalent of fusion cooking in Ireland, just as we are everywhere else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coulée cheese with Italian gnocchi.
I know, but you know what? Isn't it interesting that, you know, gnocchi, they're potato dumplings. We are, I think I can officially say, the kind of the potato country, even though Mexico probably has a bigger variety of potatoes than us.
I would think the Andes, where they come from.
That's right, exactly. But we are kind of known as a potato country. And yet, so I'm trying to steal back the gnocchi to Ireland because they're just flour and potato. It should be your thing. So that's why I'm doing that with nettle tonight.
Well, dumplings are a universal cooking device.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I'm Irishizing them.
Clodagh McKenna's cookbook is Clodagh's Kitchen Diaries, Delicious Recipes Throughout the Year. It is published by, who's publishing this?
Kyle Books.
And when will I see you on television next?
I'm actually on this Sunday on Create TV all day.
It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.